Once again, we'll read this responsively. I'll read the first verse. You join me on the second, so on all the way through verse number 27. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to beasts, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, in their lust one toward another, even working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Once again, our text verse is verse number 18. I'll read that again. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a copy of it and we can get to know you as a result of spending time in it. And Father, we thank you for showing us the way to heaven. So it's the way, Lord, to a heavenly life here on this earth as we serve you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for our preacher and the time that he spends in the Bible, the messages that he receives from you. And Lord, I just pray now that you'd still our hearts and minds, that we'd be receptive to the truth as it's preached. I pray that you'd be with our preacher, give him clarity of thought and speech, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power, speak through him to each one of us. Lord, once again, especially if there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray that tonight they'd get saved before they leave. We ask it now, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Take your Bibles and look at the book of Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Romans chapter 1. And I want you to circle verse 23. I want you to circle verse 25. And I want you to circle verse 26. And I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of truth versus change. Truth versus change. And we're going to look at those three verses. We're going to look at this chapter, Romans chapter 1. So I want you to hold your spot there. But I want you to notice especially those three verses there as I talk to you tonight about the subject truth versus change. And let's pray. Father, help me tonight to help. Thank you for the Word of God, how clear the Bible is, how concise the Bible is, how concrete these truths are. And now tonight, would you help us? I don't know all the needs of the dear people, but certainly you do, and you wouldn't have laid this on my heart to preach if it were not needed. And so tonight I yield to you. Now, you know I had another sermon completely prepared, ready for tonight. But yesterday I felt like you spoke to me about preaching this, and I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to do it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. Now, you help us tonight, Holy Ghost of God. May folks' lives be transformed because of this tonight, please. Now, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We have nurseries, and we have children's churches. So I don't want to stop during the sermon, but I will because people have got to listen. So ushers, I need your help. So if you have a baby, please go to the door. There's an usher at the door. The baby will be more comfortable in the nursery. If you have a youngin that's going to talk, you find an usher. That usher will help you, and because the child's going to be more comfortable outside this auditorium than in here. And besides that, people behind you will not be able to hear. And so we need your help. Now, don't make me stop in the sermon. I'll stop if I have to, but I don't want to. And so you help us if you would. So if you have a child that's going to talk, don't take a chance on it. If it's already happened, you just find an usher, and that usher will help you. Now, Father, please bless tonight. This is not a game. This is reality. This could salvage an awful lot of heartache. This could stop future divorces. This could stop kids in the future from getting in trouble with the law and find themselves locked up. This could save tons of money. by the folks in this auditorium if they'll just listen to the man of God who's going to preach your word. So Holy Spirit, help me now to help. This is not just a cute little speech and we're not playing church. This is truth. Now help me to help. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. This way, and listen carefully. In verse 23, in fact, if you'll look at verse 23, the Bible says, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things." Underline creeping things, and right next to that, mother-in-laws. That's what that is. Now, before we get into those three verses, go back to verse 18 and look to whom God is speaking here. In verse 18, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." Boy, it sounds like God doesn't like ungodliness, does it? Sounds to me like he wouldn't like a Christian young man sitting in a truck hugging on somebody else's wife. It doesn't sound like he'd like that at all, and he probably shouldn't. You shouldn't even run with a guy that does that. If you keep running with him, he'll probably hug on you the next time. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Boy, it sounds to me like that God is really upset. I don't want to make God mad. And so he says the wrath of God is revealed in heaven all ungodliness and unrighteous men. But look what he says here. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So he says here, God says, I'm upset about all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And the ones at the top of the list are the ones who hold the truth while standing in unrighteousness. Now that's what God said. God said, I'm very upset. There's a lot of wrath. I'm upset. I'm not happy. Why? Because somebody's holding the truth and standing in unrighteousness. Now how did that happen? Well, you have this digression that takes place in this chapter. But you have three changes that take place here. In verse 23, we read that. Now go to verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Then verse 26. "For this cause gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." So in verse 23, write this down. They changed the glory of God. In verse 23, they changed the glory of God. In verse 25, they changed the truth of God. They changed the truth of God. So in verse 23, they changed the glory of God. In verse 25, they changed the truth of God. Now in verse 26, they changed the natural use of man. They change the natural use of man. Now, I'm talking about people who hold truth, who hold the truth, who say, I'm saved, say, this is the Word of God, but they hold it while standing in unrighteousness. Now, the Bible says, number one, they change the what? They change the glory of God. Talk to me now. They change the glory of God. Number two, they change the truth of God. Talk to me now. They change the truth of God. Talk to me now. They change the truth of God. Then number three, they change the natural use of man. So three things are changed here. Number one, the glory of God. So write that down. The glory of God. Three things changed here. The glory of God. Number two, the Word of God. The Word of God. Number three, the lifestyle of man. The lifestyle of man. So three things changed here. Number one, the glory of God. Number two, the Word of God. And then number three, the lifestyle of man. Now that's always the way that it goes. When you quit praising God, the next thing you start doing, you quit praising God, you start fooling with the Word of God. Dead churches are the ones that like the NIV. They're the dead ones. And they like all these perversions. But you have the glory of God, they change that. Then they change the Word of God, and then they change the lifestyle of man. Now, the decay or decadence of a nation always follows the same order of decay or and decadence of a previous civilization. America is decaying just like the Roman Empire decayed, the same steps. Read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. You'll see the same causes that America is going the same way. Now, no civilization has ever turned around and reversed destruction. We cannot stop the decay, but we can delay the decay. And so in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, he talks about people who hold truth while standing in unrighteousness. Unfortunately, you young people do not know how Christian our country used to be. You do not know. You're young now, and you see Christians now, fundamental churches, young ladies. You could drive by the average church and young people going into church, and you'll see the girls going in tight breeches. And I'm not talking about visitors now. I'm talking about the members, the leaders of the teen department, and their mama going in with blue jeans on that are inflatable. They're inflatable. That's the only way they can get into them. Elastic. Thank God for elasticity. Or otherwise, these women would not be able to do it. But one of these days, they're going to blow like the Hindenburg, and then it's going to be all over. It'll make the news, and some reporter's going to cry. Now, so he talks here about and lets us know the deterioration that can take place, and this is a true level, different levels of decay. But we don't know what real. Listen, when I was a kid, you never locked the door. You opened the windows at night. You got a good breeze going through the house. You never worried about it. You could have a convertible car, leave it in the driveway, and leave the top down. Now, buddy, you can't do a thing. You got to lock everything in the world up. When I was a kid, I used to get on my bicycle in the morning, Brother Walters, and I would ride across town to play ball with my friend during the summertime, Ray, and our buddies, and we'd have a little ball team, and we'd play and play and play till we were so exhausted, and then we'd go to one of our houses, and we'd make butter and sugar sandwiches. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Anybody here? Butter and sugar sandwiches. And we used to get something else, too, mayonnaise, but that's another, huh? Now we're talking, aren't we? And salad dressing on it. It's just something. You'd have to have been a real man to understand this. Then we used to get a jug of water or one of those little mason jars, and we'd try to find some faucet somewhere and get some water. We'd just chug-a-lug that water, buddy, until we were just sick as a dog. But, boy, we had fun. We'd play ball all day and then come back. Mama never worried about us. Daddy never worried about us. We didn't have. You young people do not understand the great nation that this nation used to be, with the Christian nation. You just don't understand the freedom that goes along with standards. And the freedom that goes along. Hey, girls, listen to me. Hey, girl, listen. Scoot over. Unless you're dating her, scoot over and listen to me now. I'm talking about America that okay, leave it to Beaver. You see that on television. You see the way mom dressed? You see the way dad dressed? That's the way America was. That was not some fabricated thing to try to make something America wasn't. And what happened has happened now, third world countries. Let me tell you what's happening. Movies and television programs have given a picture to the rest of the world that we just got a bunch of sluts over in America and a bunch of women don't have any idea how to dress and don't know how to dress. So they think that's a picture of now what's happened then. It has become popular now and the decay has taken place in America. It doesn't matter. Divorce. Get married. We have young people in this church, reared in this church, who get married and then walk away and say, I'm tired of it. Just tired. Tired of being married. Got a baby now, but I'm tired of it. So I just walk away. And we got a young man in this auditorium tonight sitting in a truck with somebody else's wife hugging on her. And I don't care, divorced or not divorced, I don't give a rip till death do you part. Now that's just it. And so for some reason, we just don't walk out, we'll know who you are. But for some reason, this nation of ours, we've become a bunch of pigs in a hog pen and dealing with slop. We don't even have any respect for marriage. We have no respect for our wife. We have no respect for our husband. We have no respect for our children. We don't have any self-respect. We have no blush anymore. The blush is completely gone. But it wasn't always that way. America was not always that way. Listen, let me tell you something. There was a day when young people could date and you didn't have to worry about it. But not now. Because you got all this stinking television stuff stuck in your head and you feel like if you don't go to bed with somebody that you'll not get a husband. If you don't let them paw all over you, they're not. Look, you're not married. That may be somebody else's wife. That may be somebody else's husband. Don't get mad at me the way I preach. Let me tell you, the world has indoctrinated you children, and the men of God are not putting it out there where it ought to be put out. But we don't remember the America. We don't remember. I'm talking about the 50s. Yeah, there really were people alive in those days. There were dinosaurs there too, you know. I graduated high school in 1962-63 class. We had 63 people. Shut up. I got socks older than you, boy. But
But I remember those days when it just was so much. We didn't have policemen in the hallway of the school. We didn't have dogs sniffing the lockers for dope. We didn't have dope. Why the listen? You know the punks they'd have their collar up like this, and like this, and have the duck tail, you know, and have the white shirt and the pants pulled down here. They had to go across the street from the school. Is anybody listening to me? They were considered, they had to go across the street. If you walked over there, you'd see Dennis Harless and Debbie over there by the tree. But you'd have to walk over the street. And I'm talking about collar up. They never played football. But if you ever got one of those guys on a football field, we wanted them. Did you hear what I said? We wanted them. They were the ones, you know, that they'd hang out in the gangs. But, buddy, the guys that played football were hoping they'd show up one time. But they'd smoke their cigarettes. Now they have a smoking room in the school where I went to school, a smoking room. Policemen in the hallways. It's absolutely unbelievable what's going on in America. You don't know the America. We don't know the greatness of America. Now, you're talking about separation of church and state. Boy, I tell you, my blood boils every time I think about that subject. You see, they don't mind the state meddling with the church, but they sure don't want the church meddling with the state. Now, that's what it boils down to. I said, that's what it boils down to. I'm waiting for you now. I said, that's what it boils down to. You talk about separation of church and state. They don't mind meddling with our business, but they don't want us meddling with their business. Now, if you're going to have separation of church and state, let's have separation of church and state. And by the way, you're going to have a tough time going to the Constitution. Don't get me started. But like in Fort Pierce, Florida, I picked up an article that said that now there's a law against Bible studies in homes now. Do you know that now all over America you can't just put a church building anywhere? It has to be where the state says you can put it. And in some places they have a limited number of churches that can be built in a certain area. What happened to separation of church and state? Yeah, I'll say it again. They don't mind meddling in our business, but they don't want us meddling in their business. Now, let me give you several steps to the decay here that took place in my generation. It's going to get worse in your generation. In my generation, one time, Mrs. Gray lived in Augusta. It was 4 miles. 4 miles from where we lived. Now, in those days, I did not know her. She went to Augusta School, and I went to Galesburg School. But we used to get on our bicycles and ride that 4 miles. And at the 43, Highway 43, when it turned around and went into Augusta, there was a pond. I don't know if you remember the pond down in the valley there. And that pond, well, we'd ride our bikes 4 miles, go to that pond, and we'd tie a rope from the top of that tree up there and got us a tire. And, man, we had the most fun in the world. I mean, swing on that thing and dive in that thing, try to drown each other. Well, we just had a lot of Christian fun. But now I wouldn't let my kids ride their bicycle down the block. Man, all these child molesters and all these dope heads and drunks and everything else. I'll tell you, parents that let your kids stay over the night at somebody else's house are nuts. I've been preaching it for 33 years, 25 years here. I've said it over and over again. You ain't got no business letting your children spend the night at anybody's house. You don't know what that man in that house will do. In fact, nowadays, you don't know what that woman's going to do. All the lesbians and queers and fags around, you just have no idea what's going on. You don't know the America that I knew. You just don't know the America that I knew when I was a kid, unless you're old codger like me. But now, several steps to destruction here. First of all, in verse 21, they knew God, but they didn't glorify God. First step to destruction. I'm talking about those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the decay has come because of God's people. That's what he said in verse 18. He's not talking about, listen, our threat is not from the homosexuals. Our threat is not from the queers or the lesbians. Our threat is from the people who sit in this room tonight who've let it happen. Who've let it happen. So what has happened is we have found ourselves slowly decaying. All right. When you used to sing in a choir and you quit and you start sitting out there and then you start sitting in the back section and then you thank God for the balcony because you sit in the balcony and then if we build a third tier, you'd be sitting in there. What you're looking is for the exit sign. there's a natural, when you start getting away from God, there's just a natural decline and a natural decay that starts to take place. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a coward. I've never run from a fight in my life. I am God's man, and you do what you're going to do. Just do what you got to do. But I'm telling you right now, we need some people who cannot, we can't stop the decay, but we can delay the decay if the salt has lost its savor. And what happens is we've got to keep that savor. We've got to keep that salt, because if we don't do it, we're done. That's why we need men to stand up and say, yeah, we're sticking by this thing. We need women to stand up and say, this is it. We're not gonna put, come on, somebody help me now. I'm saying tonight, this first step, you quit glorifying God. Have you quit shouting? Have you quit praising God? You know, when you praise God, you don't want to get away from the preaching. You want to get close to the preaching. When you're praising God, you don't stay away from the soul winning. You want to get close to the soul winning. When you start praising God, you don't quit your Sunday school class. You ask for more to do. When you quit praising God, you quit driving your bus. You quit working your Sunday school class. You quit the choir. You quit the orchestra. And quit becomes your middle name. And it should not be that way. I'm trying to help you. I'm not your enemy tonight. Satan is the one that's trying to get to you. I'm trying to keep you from getting there. First step to destruction, you quit praising God. Do you shout anymore? Huh? Do you shout anymore? Do you smile? Women, do you smile? Have you got a smiler? Do you nod your head up and down? Do you let you cheer the man of God on? I'm just saying the destruction, but you don't praise God. He said, became wise in her own conceit. Second step, write this down, idolatry. I-D-O-L-A-T-R-Y, idolatry. Verse 23, they changed the glory of God into an image. Now, don't miss this. We changed the glory of the God of the Bible into the God of the professor in the seminary. So now we have to create an image. So we create an image by creating a Southern Baptist convention. We create an image by creating a Baptist Bible fellowship. We create an image by creating a denomination. Ladies and gentlemen, let it always be said that Longview Baptist Temple is an independent Baptist church. We are not a part of any denomination. We have no headquarters except heaven. But the second step in verse 23, is idolatry. The third step, they worship the body. Now don't miss this now. They worship the body. First step to destruction, you know God, but you don't glorify God. You quit praising God. Have you quit praising God? When you do, you're going down. Hey, when you quit praising your wife, that marriage is in trouble. When you quit cheering on your husband, that marriage is in trouble. When you quit cheering on your parents' kids who pay the bills. You got that, Raymond? They pay the bills. You got that, sir? They pay the bills. They put the roof over your head, Miss Bagwell. They put the roof over your head. They put clothes in your tummy. They feed you. They clothe you. They take... What'd I say? Food in your tummy. What did I say? I did not. I wish you'd listen to the things I say that are right as much as you do the things I say that are wrong. I said that on purpose just to see if you were listening. Duh. Now, because you've got clothes in your tummy. Oh. Now, glorify. Okay, so what happens is you start worshiping the body. Okay, notice the churches that build family centers. Now notice them. Notice the ones that have the little jogging track where the wives can come down in their shorts and the men can watch them. They start worshiping the body. Watch the teenagers. Can't get it undone. Watch the teenagers. Watch how they start magnifying the body. Watch the spike hairdos. Watch the spaghetti hairdo on the boys. Watch how people start dressing. What happens is they start glorifying the body. Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm for keeping yourself... Listen, I went 10 miles this morning on my treadmill. I've been 10 miles a day. And I believe in staying in good health, and I believe in that. But I don't believe in worshiping the body. I don't believe that at all. I believe you ought to eat right. I believe you ought, well, I really don't believe that, I guess. But I believe that you ought to exercise, and I believe you should. I think the more you exercise, the more you can eat. That's it? That's it. That's it. I got it. Okay. Let's go have a Big Mac. So first step to destruction, they quit praising God. Say that with me. They quit praising God. Say it with me. They quit praising God. Say it with me. They quit praising God. So if you catch yourself not saying amen, you catch yourself not nodding your head up and down, you catch yourself not doing this every once in a while, then you ought to say to yourself, something's wrong. Because you're not going to cheer on your husband, you're not going to cheer on your wife, you're going to be a gripe gut. Again, I say, why don't you tape a tape recorder and tape record your conversation all day long? How you treat total strangers better than you do your husband. You treat total strangers with more respect than you do your wife. Now, I'm just saying the first step is quit praising God. Second step is idolatry. Say that with me. What is it? Idolatry. We have to create an image. We have to create something. We don't have God now to praise, so we've got to create something in order to help us to be able to sustain ourselves. So we create a denomination in case this one falls, we can get money from there or take care of it here. We create something. We create a system. We have idolatry. Third step, they worship the body. Dirty movies, dirty magazine, dirty home box office, dirty primetime television, sensuality. You read, I'm not making it up. Verse 25, you find now lesbianism and sodomy, sensuality, and so then finally, God gives up. So what you have, it all started over here when we quit praising God. It all started when we quit nodding our heads up and down and quit doing this. It all started when we quit seeing the good and started looking at the bad. It all started when we quit seeing the good in our parents and started seeing the bad. It all started when we quit seeing the good in our husband and started seeing the bad. It all started when we did not think on these things, Philippians 4:8, and our mind was searching for gutter thoughts, bad thoughts, things that were not good. And you can come to a church like this and love it for a while and then start picking it apart because we're nothing but human beings here. Or you could say, look at the good. Look at the people being saved. Look at all the opportunities God has given us and the response. We had 200 young people walk down these aisles on Wednesday night and surrender to full-time service for God. Well, somebody shout amen. Here's you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're in trouble. I said you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. Mealy mouth. Mealy mouth. Bless God, you go to a ball game and holler yourself silly. You come to church and won't holler amen. This is a truth tonight. I'm talking about the fact that it starts with you quit praising God. I'm not making this up. It's in Romans chapter 1. Quit praising God. Then idolatry. You have to form some type of a thing to sustain you. Okay. One of the Baptist churches in town plays Beach Boy music. On Sunday morning, it's adults around, and they talk about their youth. Another church in town, yeah, Brother Cohn, what's that address? Now, another church in town takes Andy Griffith and uses Sunday school lessons from Andy Griffith in order to be able to, Mrs. Gray would join that church, and in order to teach great truths about morality. Now, what happens? You have to create something. So what do? You let the standards down? Anybody can wear anything they want to do and do what you want to do. It doesn't matter. So you start letting it down. You're creating idolatry. Then the next thing is the worship of the body. I'm not making this up. This is all in the Bible. And then it keeps on changing until finally in verse 25 you have lesbianism and sodomy. And then the last step in verse 28, God gives up. Now listen carefully. All of it started when they left the truth. All of it started when they left the truth. Error has no boundaries. Truth does. Someone said about a preacher, he changed his position. Listen carefully. Nobody ever changes his position. Change is a position. Amen. Write that down. Change is a position. Nobody ever changes his position. Change is a position. When you change, you never have a set position anymore. Truth is set. Truth is stable. Change is not. When you leave the truth, you don't stop anywhere. You keep on changing, and that's why it's called backsliding. I preached this morning on little by little. That's a struggle, isn't it? Little by little. But backsliding's easy. Go out and get on one of these slides on the playground over here and turn around backwards and just shove yourself and see how easy it is. And then crawl back up that same slide. Is this working? Hey, it's tough to do little by little and do it right. Son, get your feet off the pew. Please, get your feet off the pew. Now, so what happens is you need to understand that, backsliding is easy. Truth is set, truth is stable, change is not. When you leave the truth, you don't stop anywhere, you keep on changing. Listen to this story, true story. A deacon in a Baptist church. He had a fuss with his preacher. This is a church I preached at. I asked the preacher, what happened to this man? He used to pick me up at the airport and take me to the church all the time, every year. But one year he didn't pick me up. I said, what happened to so-and-so? Here's what he said. He had a fuss with me. Number two, he got mad. Number three, he quit the church. Number four, he started drinking. Number five, ran around his wife. Number six, he divorced his wife and left his family. Seven, he got a motel room and lived with a harlot, a whore. Eight, he married the whore. Ninth, he got in trouble with the law. 10, he's now in prison. Where did it start? He got mad at the preacher. Where did it start? He left truth. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me show you something here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Mrs. Gray's daddy was a Catholic. And he said to me one day, he said, I don't like Baptists. That's what he said. I don't like Baptists. Now, let me tell you why he didn't like Baptists, because he liked to drink. Now, come on now. I'm trying. If you'll listen to me, I'll help you. I'm not talking about your father-in-law. I'm talking about my father-in-law. He said, I'm going to be a Baptist. Why? There were teetotalers, he said. Now, he was not a Catholic because of doctrine. Don't miss this now. He was not a Catholic because of doctrine. He was a Catholic because of sin that he loved. All right? Now take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. So unrighteousness deceives. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? Talk to me now. Would you agree with that? Okay? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, so they were deceived by their unrighteousness and did not love truth because they loved their unrighteousness. Verse 11, For this cause God shall send them true delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Now, why did they not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness? Is anybody listening to me? They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, why didn't this guy love the truth? Because he loved his sin. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. Say that with me. Belief of the truth. Say it again. Belief of the truth. And now, wait a minute. A person gets himself in trouble. Now, he does not accept the doctrine. He has a lifestyle that he likes, and the doctrine accommodates it. Is anybody listening? So what you do, you leave truth for change, which leads to error, and then you find a church to validate your lifestyle. The guy one time walked in, he said, if that preacher says one thing about money, I'm out of here. And it just happened, it was January, stewardship month. You know, you folks are funny. Every other word is. Now you really exaggerate, don't you? Good money, morning money, how money, our money, you money, today money. How stupid can that be? But the reason a fella gets mad is, oh boy, I'll tell you that, preacher, it's always about money, 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 money. Why don't you be consistent? When you go to the grocery store and your groceries are going through and she says $95.50, why don't you say money, 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 money? Every time I see you, all you want is money. You never ask how my mother is. You never ask how my children are. You never say you're praying for me. You never visit me. You never come to my house. And every time I see you, it's money, 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 money. Why aren't you consistent? Somebody help me now. Why aren't you consistent? Let me tell you why. You love your money so much, you ain't about to tithe. You're not about to be right with God with your money. So you find a church that preaches, I don't believe in tithing. You know the reason you go to Jehovah False Witness is because you don't want to believe there's a hell. Truth. You see, what was wrong 50 years ago is still wrong tonight. Though we change what is right and what is wrong in our own mind, it doesn't change as far as God's concerned. Right is as right as it was 50 years ago, or as it always has been. And what was wrong in Grandpa's day is wrong tonight. Truth comes to an end. Error does not. Error has no boundaries at all. None whatsoever. Oprah Winfrey is not against lesbianism because she's leaving the door open in case she's a fag herself. We don't want to condemn something that we're going to become. And that's why in higher education they say everything is relative. No, it's not. Everything is absolute. There are absolutes in life. Wrong is changing. Changing is wrong. The act of changing is what is wrong. When you leave truth, you leave boundaries. When you leave boundaries, you leave restraint. When you leave restraint, you never change just a little bit. It becomes a slide that has no end. Now we have this notion that our separation is merely staying a certain distance from the world, but that's not true. We have a standard in Jesus Christ. He's our measuring stick, not the world. It's not a prescribed distance for the world. Christian folks are worse today than they've ever been. Tonight you watch stuff on television that you would never have even thought about watching 50 years ago. Wouldn't even thought about watching 50 years ago. I love Lucy. No, I don't love Lucy, but I love Lucy. Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were married. And they had this program on television. But they had separate beds. Because television folks said, we have a certain standard we've got to keep, certain moral standard we've got to keep. Now, wait a minute now. Things have changed now. There will be, according to a family research center, there will be over 200 nude scenes on television in the daytime. In the daytime. There's adultery being committed almost by the hour on television. Now, hold it. Things are different now. You can't afford to have your young people in your house watch the stuffs on television. You can't afford it. Things are different now. You see, if you're saved tonight, you don't want to hold truth in unrighteousness. Error is change. The process of changing is what error is. You don't go from truth to error, you go from truth to change, and everything is born of change is error. Now, the further from truth you travel, the more error you have. Error is infinite. Truth is finite. Error never stops. Truth has its limits. Okay, your sin is rebellion. Write that down. Sin is rebellion. Sin is rebellion. And by the way, all of us have got a little rebel in us. Now, I don't care who you are, you really got a little rebel in you. But all of us got a little rebel in us, and there's something about somebody looking at us and saying, yeah, that causes it to rise up. It does. When a teacher does that, there's something on the inside that kind of swells up. You know what that is? That happens? That's a rebellion. You're a rebel on the inside. We're all that way. I've got one. You got one. I was preaching with Johnny Pope in Carlsbad. Is it New Mexico? That's where Carlsbad is, right? I think it is. And I'm sitting. This preacher got down in Johnny's face and just let Johnny have it and told Johnny, "I remember when you were nothing and now you're a big shot and you really think." And I'm stunned. I couldn't believe it. He went back. Boy, Johnny started steaming. I pat him on the leg and I said, "That's all right, Johnny. He's having a bad day. Don't. It's okay. It's okay." And so then a little bit later, he comes down and gets in my face. And man, he starts letting me have it. Man, I started to get up off the pew, Johnny. He said, "No, it's okay, Bob. He's just having a bad day. Just having a bad day." But it is true, isn't it? It's about all of us that rebelled in it. Now, let me show you something here. Brother Landers, you come up here and stand here if you would, please. Stand up here. All right? Now, Brother Landers is going to represent truth. Now, truth is set. Now, I am protected by truth. Truth protects me. Satan tries to get to me, but truth protects me. But truth has limits over here and over here. The Bible is the Word of God and it's truth, so it has limits. Now, if I step out from behind the truth, I'm a target for the devil. Is anybody listening to me? Now, once I step out of here, then what happens is it's a slide from here because there's nothing to stop me. But if I say I'm going to follow truth and I hide behind truth, then that's protection for me. But when I become a rebel and I step out away from truth, then I'm a target for the devil. Is anybody listening to me? Then I'm a target for the devil. Now, so you don't go from truth to error, you go from truth to change. Truth is set. Change is set. And it's infinite. It has no, that's why Romans 1. You start out holding the truth in unrighteousness and you end up having sex with animals. I'm not making it up. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Bestiality. I'm just saying that's where, don't you think for a second that you're just going to watch a little pornography and that's going to be the end of it. Don't you think for a second these child porn things on the internet are not producing molesters and that's why we got more now we've ever had. Don't you for a second think that you're just going to dabble in sin for a little bit and then not be stuck in you, because you'll never be satisfied sexually, emotionally. You'll never be satisfied until you decide you're going to stay behind truth and let truth protect you. Somebody say amen. We've got a bunch of folks, young people, that are dabbling with Satan is putting a hook in you, and you're going to wreck your life and ruin your life. You better shut that stupid television set off. You better quit watching things you ain't got no business watching. Get rid of those magazines, and you better straighten up, or one of these days, you're going to wreck everything that you've got that you call precious. Somebody say amen to me. Truth. All right. Now, stand up here, Brother Doss, you stand behind me. Now, here's truth, and here's the leader, and here's the follower. Now, there's something about a leader who'll turn around and say to follow. Now, we're staying behind truth, you understand that? And so the leader stays here. And every once in a while I said, now, we're standing behind truth, you understand that? And we're standing behind truth, you understand that? Okay, but there's a rebel in all of us. So what happens is he steps over here. He steps out, and then the leader turns around, and all of a sudden he ain't in church. He turns around, and all of a sudden he ain't in the choir. He turns around, all of a sudden he's not at his usher post. All he turns around, all of a sudden he's not teaching his class. He turned around, all of a sudden, what in the world happened? And by the way, let me stop and say, you better thank God you've got an old man of God standing up here that hasn't varied. Listen, you know, some of our graduates have left here and gone to churches and they found out that the preacher wasn't what he said he was one thing, and then they got there and found out he wasn't what he was. He was a stinking compromiser, but these dear folks have taken their children and put them underneath, and what a tragedy. So stay here. All right. So I know something about the rebels. So I say, yeah, get back over here. So he decides to step away. He decides to go over here. Pharaoh hardened his heart first. Then Moses kept talking to him. And guess what? The Bible says God hardened his heart. What he was saying was, he's saying to Moses, don't quit telling the truth. Don't quit telling the truth. I can't go there. Boy, you make me mad every time I go. Well, thank God at least you got some emotion. So here's what happens. The leader now, trying to get the fella back, steps over here and goes like this. And here's what, I love you. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, what do we have to do to get you back? Well, look, I'll step over. I'll tell you what, I is your leader. Now, wait a minute, hold it, something's wrong here. I'm a target. He's a target. Is anybody listening to me? Something's wrong here. What I better do is get back over here and get behind truth and say to the Father, get back over here where you are. Now, get back over here right now where you belong. Now, you get mad about that all you want to, but truth is we need some dads who'll say to their kids, yeah, get back over here. Now, if the kid decides to stay out there, if he says he's not coming back, I'm dead sure not going to step out and be a target myself. Okay, look, I can prove it. Go back here. Politicians. Prohibition worked. It worked. It worked. You said, well, then why don't we have it? It's very simple. The people said, we ain't going to put up with it. The politicians said, I want to be elected. Well, write this down. The only law in America anymore is public opinion. That's it. The only law in America anymore is public opinion. Public opinion. Because public opinion elects people to put over us to restrain us from ourselves, and thus they're not restraining us, we're restraining them. Because we control them. I thank God for President Bush, who stands up and says, we are not pulling out of Iraq. I don't care what the Democrats say. I don't care what the liberal Republicans say. We are not pulling out. If we stay there, we stay the course. God's going to take care of us. If we pull out, millions will die. I love it. I love it. About time we had a Texan in the White House. So this is what happens. When the truth is, the leader ought to stay over here and say, yeah, get back over here. All right? Okay, here's what happened. King James Bible issue. King James Bible issue. All of a sudden, the people demanded something they could understand. Well, what the men of God should have said, get back over here and read that Bible. And you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you that Bible. Well, what happened is the people demanded it. And so Zondervan came along and said, okay, we'll provide it. And do you think it just stops with the NIV? Do you think it just stops with the American Standard? Do you think the Revised Standard is the end of it? Now we've got the genderless Bible on the market. Now we've got all kinds. We've got cartoon Bibles on the market. We've got everything. A guy wrote me from California and said, I have an 865-word Bible for the busy man. And he said, you're the chancellor of the college. Would you please write a recommendation on this? And I wrote garbage across it and sent it back to him. That's what we need. We need some. Where was James Dobson when the people started writing the NIV, the Revised? Where was James Dobson? He's screaming about the genderless Bible. Where was he when the King James was being fiddled with? So here's truth. That's my protection. Yeah, get back over here. That's his protection. Now he may choose as millions of folks around the world choose to rebel against God, but that's their business. But I'm not doing it. You think I'm going to step out here and be a target myself? Okay, husbands. You're the husband. Here's the wife. The wife decides, I'm not going to church. I ain't going to do right. Look, stupid. I mean, smart man. Don't step out here and be an idiot. Don't do that. You stand here behind truth, and you let truth, and you say to your wife, "Now you get back over here." If she decides not to, she's going to be a target for the devil. But is anybody listening to me at all tonight? But I'm just saying, you stick by truth. Thank you. You may be seated. The further you go from truth, the more you travel, the more error you'll have. Your sin is rebellion. Authority moves its leadership from truth to change, then fellowship responds. Oh, by the way, yeah, stand back up here. I just thought of something else. Stand up here. Okay? Stand up here. Here's what happens. Take a step out there. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Whew. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. All right. But I have to know something about him. We'll get back one day. We'll get back over there one day. Well, I got him back. I got him back. Do you know what he's going to do? Do you know what he's going to do? All right. Now, the more I let him, he's the leader now. I'm not the leader. He's the leader. So we're headed that way, and there is no limit to it. The best thing to do is for you moms to get back here buying truth. You dads, get back over buying truth. Is anybody listening to me? Bus captains, preach the devil out of those bus kids. Get them to dress right, walk right, talk right. Have an effect on their life. Stand here. This is protection. Yeah, get back over here. So when he does, fine. All right, thank you. Maybe seated. Unless I think of something else. Basically what happens is we find ourselves not being protected by truth anymore. And if the only way we're going to survive is to be protected by truth. Now, tonight, where are you? Are you behind truth, standing behind truth? Get back up here again. I just thought of something else. Are you standing behind truth? If you are, it doesn't matter. It does matter for his sake what he does. For his sake. Now, if he decides to go over here, the best thing, I know there's a temptation. Preachers go visit people that quit church. And here's what they say. What do I have to do to get you back? Now, you know what they're saying? Bible's on the line. Standard's on the line. Anything. You just tell me, we'll change anything to get you back. Now, folks, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. We're not going to vote on whether we use the King James Bible or not. We're not going to vote tonight on whether we have standards around here or not. We're not going to vote tonight whether we have the bus mission. We're not going to vote tonight whether we go soul winning or not. We're not going to vote tonight whether it's a pastor-led church or not. We're not going to vote on that. We're not going to do it. Because you put this in the hands of a deacon board, and I'll tell you what, you get a majority of them going against you, buddy. And that's why the average church in America is in trouble, because they got a bunch of deadhead deacons that don't go soul-winning, not steadfast, and they get themselves in trouble, and they start questioning and doubting and criticizing. And next thing you know, is anybody listening to me? Next thing you know, it affects the church. Somebody's got to stay behind truth and say to everybody else, I'll be here when you come back. I'll still be preaching it when you decide it and what you did is not right and you come back, I'll still be here. Okay, prodigal son. He left, but thank God, are you listening to me? The prodigal's daddy was still at the farm. He was still the same. And it was a benefit for the kid, because when the kid came back, he got him a job, his job back. He got a way to make some money and eat. He was in a hog pen. I'm just saying to you that truth is going to protect us. Look, okay. Thank you. You can be seated, but you stay in here. Truth, I need you. I'm preaching away. And I said, let me tell you, heifer, something. You know what? You can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. You can leave me, but you can't hurt me. I said, all right, you want to wear your britches, gal, and look like a bullfighter? That's all right, but God ain't for it. You want to get in a truck and start hugging on somebody else's wife and acting like a barnyard animal? You go right ahead. But God ain't for it. You go ahead and divorce your wife and leave her with a little baby because you're tired of being married. You go right ahead, you blockhead. But God's not for it. You want to go to movies and watch a bunch of naked people act like a bunch of dogs in heat? You go right ahead. But God ain't for it. Is anybody listening? You go right ahead and just strip down in summertime and show your fat thighs and because you're hot and act like the world. You go ahead. But God ain't for it. See, I'm protected. I'm protected by truth. How come you're not smiling? I'm grinning. God's going to take care of me. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. But not you. You keep changing. Look. Oh, I could just reach out and slap a whole bunch of you. When people walk in this building, they ought to see the same people in the same chair in that choir. You know why? Because people begin to say, what's wrong? What's wrong? Something's wrong. Where's so-and-so? What's wrong? There's something about the stability and the security that is built by people being... I called somebody this morning. I said, well, I'm coming by to pick you up. Well, I'm not coming today. And I said, okay, I'm not either. And here's what the guy said. You have to. I said, no, I don't either. I don't have to any more than you do. He said, preacher, you got to go to church. I said, I ain't going. You ain't going, I ain't going. You stay home, I stay home. Preacher, you can't do that. That church needs to, you need to preach this morning. I ain't preaching. I'm staying home. You stay home, I stay home. You have a right to stay home, I have a right to stay home. I ain't going. Stay home, I stay home. You stay home. The whole world stay home. I'm staying home. He said, you can't do it. I said, I'm going to do it. He said, okay, come pick me up. You don't look, folks. You know, the truth is, if I walked up here on Sunday night and said, I've had it, I'll tell you that right now. I have absolutely had it. It ain't worth it. And I quit. 3/4 of you would say, well, I agree with that. I've had it too, buddy. I'll tell you what, it's over for me. Run those buses 109 degree temperature. Thanks for praying for the hot buses, buddy. Keep reminding us, would you? I want to see these prayers before you pray them anymore. Did you say something about spit the other night about me spit and me preaching? I won't slap you. The deacons got this. Did you pray something about spit? May I have something about spit? Do you remember what it was? Or did you? Okay. Now, Now, hold it. I'm just saying to you, we've got to have stability. We've got to stay right here behind truth. Every time, when you're supposed to be somewhere at a certain place, at a certain post, at a certain time, get your carcass there. Why? You're setting yourself up for change. You don't want that. You don't want that. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead. Just think you're being smart. You're a target. You're a target. Stay home Wednesday night. The folks that stayed home tonight, listen, everybody look at this now, we're going to be through. The people, and finally, brethren, the people who stayed home tonight are being taught. The people who are staying home tonight, CBS is teaching them something. NBC is teaching them something. A DVD movie from Hollywood is teaching them some values. They've got a preacher tonight. Somebody is teaching them tonight. Time is an event, and when you stay away from Wednesday night, you're staying away from truth that God is giving you to help you, to protect you. Truth protects. But when I step out here, I am a target. I'm a target. Now, by the way, come back up here. Just thought of something else. Let's suppose that the dad steps out here. Where's your protection? Your protection is not with dad, it's with truth. Let's suppose the mother steps out here, acts like a jerkweed. Wait a minute. Truth is not the protection of your mother, but truth is what protects you. You husbands who have, you wives who have husbands who go haywire, let them go haywire. God will deal with them. But you stay behind truth. You stay behind truth. If the preacher decides to step over here and become wacky, it doesn't matter. You keep on going soul winning. You keep going to church. You keep going. You know what's amazing to me is that you pick somebody like me apart, but you won't get mad at the preachers who steal money and the preachers who the King James Bible is not the Word of God and so on. You'll throw a fit about some little thing that I do that you don't mean nothing. Buddy, if I decided we're going to raffle off whiskey, if I decided we're going to have a dance in the basement, if we had a basement, and decided to do a bunch of stuff that wasn't right, then if say the King James not the Word of God, virgin birth is not true, fire me. But in between time, why are you griping and complaining so much? You're like folks who said, oh God, we want quail. Yeah, right. And after a while they said, we're tired of this quail. You said, we want a soul winning preacher, and you got one. Now you said, we're tired of this. You said, we want the buses to be alive, but now you don't want to drive them. Too much quail, too much water, too much manna. We're tired of that which we asked for. Yeah. Here's truth. I don't care whether the preacher or the leader steps out, or if the follower steps out, the protection is right here. Right here. And the leader ought to stay here and say, yeah, get back over here. So when I get up and say, we're going to get some bus drivers out of this crowd, and you look at me and say, I'm tired of the pressure. You go right ahead and get tired of the pressure. Go to some Methodist church and see how she preaches. Go to some Methodist church and see how she preaches. Tonight, I don't know where you're standing tonight, but truth is set. And truth has boundaries. We had a poodle named Buttons. Have I told you about Buttons? Buttons are the meanest dog I've ever seen in my life. I've got scars all over my hand. You got scars in your hand, don't you? He came to the house one day, and I said, would you help me get that dog out? He said, sure, I can get any dog out. No. Buttons doesn't like Brother Queen. And so, Buttons, mean dog. While they're in, keep people from getting in, getting hurt. That Rottweiler got out one time, by the way, and took a chunk out of a leg of one of our neighbors who was working in the garden. That's how mean that dog was. But our dumb poodle would leave the house. We'd put out in the backyard, run straight to that fence. It's what little hair it had would stand up on its back, and it would just bark and bark and bark at that Rottweiler. That Rottweiler would walk over there and just stare at that poodle. Never barked, just stare at that poodle. And here's what the Rottweiler was saying. Come on over. Come on now, help me now. Come on over. Do you know what I wanted to do?
I wanted to go down and pick up that little poodle and say, here, have a taste. But that's what you are. You're running to the fence and saying, my mama won't let me, and my daddy won't let me, and the preacher won't let me. And I want to get out there where everybody else is getting out there. Go right ahead, and you'll get pregnant before you get married, and then you'll have babies, and then he'll leave you for some other whore. And next thing you know, you're going to wreck your life and ruin your life. The best thing in the world to do is stay behind truth. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how much pain there is, or how much the kids don't like it, or anybody don't like it. I don't care. You stay behind truth. Why? Because it's right. And it protects you. And if the leader goes down, the follower is going to follow. And if the follower goes down, the leader should not follow. I'm just saying truth versus change. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Close your eyes. Everyone standing.